How many loves the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I about said this morning too, brother. I get mixed up all the time. I mean, I've been excited to study this week on a little message here. The Lord gave me a verse of Scripture that I thought was quite odd.
Listen, Lord.
And it really intrigued me, and I've heard it before, but it's been many years. I've never heard it preached on.
Yeah. Listen,
but it really intrigued me, and this week I've just been studying and pondering on this one little spot of Scripture. We'll read a little bit before we get to it.
Amen.
But if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Hosea chapter 7. Earlier in this week, I just had a notion, just go study Hosea for a little bit. And I read, till I came to about chapter 7, and it stopped me in my tracks. This verse I'm talking about, we're going to get to. Amen. As I thought and pondered about it even more today, I got happier and happier. And may I tell you what, I need that. Amen. This morning, we went to a church this morning that wasn't really very spiritual. Amen. It was hard to get up there and sing. It was hard to worship the Lord and praise the Lord. And a lot of people think, well, we, you know, in the crowd, we ain't got much to offer the service when the singing's going on or when the preaching's going on, but you do, amen. A little amen here and there goes a long way, Brother Robbie, amen. It helps the preacher out, it helps the singers out, clapping your hands. Amen, you don't do it for us, amen. You do it because you feel it in the Lord and you want to worship the Lord, but it kind of spills over on us and it helps us a little bit. But I told him, I said, I'll be glad we get to Sulphur tonight. I know them people know and love the Lord and know how to serve Him. And it feels like home when I go there. And I'm just glad this evening. We've had a little prayer discussion thing beforehand. Almost like to me, it almost feels like Bible study. Just a family gathering. But amen, I'm excited for this message tonight. I probably won't get it all preached out. The things I hope to preach a lot of times that I had to come to terms with, it's not always going to come out like I say it in my mind. And I see it beforehand, but I just have to accept that whatever the Lord wanted to come out, that's what will come out, amen. But Hosea chapter 7.
Yeah,
touch you, Lord. You got your Bibles. I'm going to read this whole chapter, and then we'll focus in on a little bit of that verse I was telling you about. It says, and when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. For they committed falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. How the Lord remembers, Brother Robbie.
Amen, brother.
The Lord's got a good memory.
Amen.
He said, I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face.
Yeah.
They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies.
Mm-hmm.
They are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceases from raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leaven. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. Mm-hmm. He stretched out his hand with scorners. For they have made ready their heart like an oven. Whilst they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and have drowned or devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake, not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth it not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all of this. Ephraim is also like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And they have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their bed, they assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt.
Amen.
Now reading that, amen, we see a lot of things talking about Israel, talking about Ephraim. Amen. We're going to go into a little bit of that. But the verse that really caught my attention was verse 8 there. It says, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself Among the people, Ephraim is a cake not turned. Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity to be here. Lord, we want to preach your word, Lord, dear God, as you exactly have us to do it, Lord. Pray that you'll help us to step out of the way, that you'll help us, Lord, dear God, to just be the vessel, Lord, through which the message, Lord, dear God, can be delivered today, Lord. Help us, Lord, to grow in the Spirit, to grow in our relationship with you. And Lord, help us, Lord, dear God, to take the word to heart. Lord, let our hearts be good ground, that the seed can be sown and the fruit, Lord, can be much, Lord. And we can have good ground, Lord, dear God, to be able to rejoice over the fruit that will be born through this message, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Now we talk here in verse 7, in chapter 7 here, Hosea talks about Ephraim. He said, you know, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. Mm-hmm. Amen. I forgot to give you my thought. My thought is an unturned cake. Amen. It said Ephraim is a cake not turned. My thought tonight is an unturned cake. But Ephraim, it says, the sin of Ephraim was discovered here. The iniquity was discovered. Amen. I began to think about Achan just a few minutes ago as I read that. Achan, amen, had sin in the camp. Amen. Because he healed a Babylonian garment and he thought he'd keep it for himself when God said destroy everything. He brought it into the camp and buried it under his tent and God found him out. Amen. No, Moses said, and I believe it was Numbers over there, 32:23, somewhere around there, it said, be sure your sin shall find you out. Yeah. Achan's sin found him out that day. Yeah. And he had all his family, I believe it was, him, himself, his family, everything he owned. Amen. I believe they were stoned. I believe what happened to him. It's been a while since I've read that story. But everything they had to pay with a great price because sin was found in the camp. And God says here, I would have healed you. But there was sin in the camp. I've discovered it. Amen. You can't hide nothing, Brother Rodney, from an almighty, all-seeing God today. Amen. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself perfect on the behalf of them that love him. Amen. The Bible talks about God sees everything. There's nothing that's hid from him. There's nothing that's hid that he can't discover. Amen. What's going to be in the darkness, God can reveal in his light. Amen. And everything is naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do, the Bible says.
Amen.
God knew about their fault. He knew about their iniquity. He said that stopped you from your healing.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you what, a lot of things could stop you from a blessing, Brother Robbie.
Amen.
A lot of things can stop you from what God would have you to have.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it's over in Psalms over there, chapter 70, Psalm 78 maybe, where it talks about they limited God. Amen. They limited the Holy One.
Amen.
And when they talked about Jesus trying to do miracles, said he couldn't do many mighty miracles, mighty works in that place because of their unbelief. It's like Sister June said a while ago. Sometimes we put limits on the Lord, amen.
Amen.
And God
amen.
Wants to do so much more, but we limit him through unbelief and iniquity.
Right, brother. Bless him, Jesus. Good preaching, brother.
Begins to talk here about this little, I would consider it probably a little parable. And I've been studying on that this week, and the solution to that didn't come to me until just probably a couple hours ago when I was at home studying right after we got back from the scene.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen. Sat down and did what studying I could between wrangling a baby here and there. Amen, but I got some studying doing, and it says down here, notice it talks about kings and princes, and then it talks about ovens and bakers and all these other things.
Amen.
I mean, just a little story, a little illustration, if you would, that God gives here to compare them.
Yeah.
It says, verse 3, they make the king glad with their wickedness and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers as an oven heated by the baker.
Yeah.
Who ceases from raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened.
Yeah.
In the day our king, the princes, have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hands with scorners. For they have made ready their heart like an oven. Whilst they lie in wait with their baker, sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. Amen. It says they are all hot as an oven and it devoured their judges. And their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. What he's saying there, he's talking about the king and the princes. The king is making the king glad with their wickedness.
Yeah.
Amen. They're trying to, basically they're trying to get the king to do what they want to do.
Amen.
It talks about how they made him sick with bottles of wine. His judgment, amen, is not exactly where it needs to be. He's so drunk and sick with wine. And he begins to talk about the baker. Amen. I begin to think about that. The baker is the king. Amen. Think about that. The baker is the king. He's laid himself down to sleep, just like this king, and laid himself out and stretched his hands with the scorners. Amen. The king is not, like the old saying says, when the cat's away, the mice will play. But he says that the king is the baker, and the baker laid down himself to sleep, and all night long he didn't rise again. When the leaven and the dough began to rise, he wasn't there to babysit and take care of it. And so when he put it in the oven, amen, the cake began to burn. And they said here that their hearts are like that oven, and that passion begins to burn. He called them adulterers. He's talking about passion. He says that passion begins to burn while the king or the baker is laying asleep. Amen. While he's off the job and he's not taking care of the flock and taking care of the kingdom. Amen. The kingdom is starting to fall apart. That passion is burning. Their heart is an oven. They've devoured their judges. Their kings are fallen. Amen. And we see all these bad things that are happening. There's not even anybody that calls on the Lord. And then he says in verse 8, I believe this is probably the nail in the coffin, so to speak.
Amen.
Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned.
Amen.
Let me give you a little bit of backstory on Ephraim here. In the book of Genesis, we first hear mention of Ephraim here. He actually is one of the sons of Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Right after they got out of the land of Israel and Canaan and had to go all the way to Egypt because there was a famine in the land that Joseph predicted. Amen. We find that they are all together as a family and everything's okay. And God, he says, you know, Joseph said, you know, you meant selling into me into slavery for evil, but God meant it for good. And he has two sons, and one is by the name of Ephraim, and the other one is the name of Manasseh.
Yeah.
Now, Ephraim basically means double fruit. Amen. Double fruitful. Amen. Now, Joseph, his name has many meanings. Not long ago, I began to study his name.
Yeah.
And that's why we named DJ, his middle name is Joseph, because his name means he shall add. But it also means fruitfulness.
Yeah.
So you see, Ephraim here, it's talking about Ephraim. Ephraim and Manasseh were born, but Manasseh was the firstborn and Ephraim was the second. And Joseph, when he began to go to Jacob, I mean, let's use Robbie here for example. He began to go, Robbie's Jacob, and I'm Joseph. I've got Ephraim in one hand and Manasseh in the other hand. And the right hand is the one that blessing comes from.
Amen.
And he begins to say, well, Manasseh, I want him. He's the firstborn. He deserves a blessing. It says, in Manasseh, he had his left hand and he extended it to Jacob's right hand so that he would get the right hand of blessing. Ephraim was in his left hand, right hand, he extended it to Jacob's left hand because he would get the lower blessing.
Yeah.
And we find that Ephraim, what happened is Jacob here, amen, when he began to reach these out, Jacob crossed his arms and put the left hand the blessing, not on the firstborn, but on the secondborn.
Amen.
Ephraim got the blessing of the firstborn.
Yeah, blessing Jesus.
And if Joseph's name means fruitful, Ephraim's names mean fruitful, that's double fruitful.
Yeah.
He said, it's double fruitful is Ephraim's name because the Lord has made me fruitful in the land of Egypt. So I believe here when he begins to talk about Ephraim, Ephraim here is a symbol of God's bountifulness towards Israel.
Yeah.
Amen. And Israel is also known as Ephraim. It's kind of interchanged, but in this sense, I believe that God is trying to tell them, you've forgotten what I've done for you in this land. You've forgotten how blessed a nation you are. You've forgotten how I delivered you from all these diseases. I got you out of Egypt and I delivered you from Egypt into the wilderness and from the wilderness into the promised land. Amen. And you forgot all these things that I've done for you.
Yeah.
He's mentioning the name of Ephraim because he's letting them remember just how blessed they are.
Right.
In Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 6, it says, thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee, he's talking about Israel, to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 7, now on verse 7. The Lord did not, listen to this, did not set his love upon you nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people.
That's right. That's right. Come on, that's right.
For ye were the fewest of all people.
Yeah. Man.
But because the Lord loved you.
That's right.
And because he would keep the oath which he swore unto your fathers. That's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord hath brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God says, I didn't pick you because you were just the best person out there, the best nation there was on the land, the biggest nation, so many people to fill the earth. He said, no, you were the smallest.
Amen.
Remember, Gideon had too many people. God had to pare him out a little bit until he got him down to about 300. I believe he started with somewhere around 3,000. He said, no, that's too many people to go out and fight this army.
That's right.
I think the army was something like 10,000. I can't remember. But it was a big number.
Man,
what? And he kept snipping away. He kept, no, that's too many men. That's too many men. Till he finally got them down because God knew that they would brag on themselves if there was enough men to do the job.
That's right.
God says, no, you don't get the glory. I want me to get the glory.
Right.
I deserve the glory.
Right.
So he trimmed it down to about 300 people in Judges, I believe it was chapter 6. We find about Gideon there and his army. And how Gideon set out a fleece before God. And how God answered twice. Once the fleece was dry and the ground was wet. Another time the ground was dry and the fleece was wet. God, that was his answer. He says, Ephraim here, I'm reminding you of how blessed you are. You weren't a great people, but it was my love towards you that's brought you where you are right now. And he begins to tell Ephraim, he said, you know, there's nothing but adulterers here. They're just as hot as an oven with their passions and with their desires. Probably just as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah was. Amen. And the king has fallen. Their judges have fallen. He's asleep on the job. He don't care about his kingdom anymore. And he begins to say, Ephraim, verse 8, hath mixed himself among the people. He just mangled himself. I remember when they was coming out in Numbers, when they was coming out of the wilderness, God told them not to marry into other races and other peoples and other tribes, because then they would begin to steal their heart away from the Lord and begin to worship idols and false gods. We see a lot of that today, amen. Begin to worship false beliefs and different things like that. And he begins to tell them here he's just mixed himself with the people.
Yeah, spiritual stuff.
And I'm sad to say the church has mixed herself with the world in a lot of times, a lot of ways today, Brother Robbie.
Amen.
Amen. It's sad to see when you go to a church house, it's sad to see all the things that they talk about. I like listening to podcasts. It's these kind of like little mini radio programs. And they was talking today on one of these podcasts about music business. I was listening to that because I'm a musician, so I try to keep up with some of that. And one guy was talking about how he used to be in church and he was a church boy, but he was at this church. He was at talking some music things over with a preacher over a beer. And I thought to myself, well, that ain't no preacher. Amen. That ain't no preacher. But the world today, the church has mixed themselves with the world.
Yeah.
We saw a movie the other day. It's a really good movie. And I believe it's called Church People.
Mm-hmm.
It was on one of those apps that's on TV that you get. Basically, the premise was the pastor of this mega church had done everything he can to try to appeal to the people and try to get a name out there for the church and try to be some kind of big superhero and all this. The premise of the thing is he tried to make a real life crucifixion service. Say, we're going to actually have a real crucifixion here. And it ends a good way, but that's how blind they had been trying to be like the world. He said, I told you when we reached our church attendance goal, I'd get the church logo tattooed on my arm. And so he's there getting his tattoo of the church logo on his arm. And that's to make fun of how bad it's gone downhill. Why is that? Because the church needs to stay the church.
Amen.
And the world can stay the world if it wants to.
Yeah.
Keep it out of God's house. Amen. Right. God's house is sacred. It's holy. And God ain't pleased with it. Amen. He told Ephraim, here ye forgot. Amen. Where I brought you from.
Amen.
And you know what you are? You're a cake that's not turned. Now we get to the meat of the message.
Right.
I pondered that this week, Brother Robbie. I never really saw that.
Man.
I think I've heard it read, but it just kind of went in one ear and that the other. But God got my attention. I said, Lord, what is this? A cake not turned. I begin to think about a cake pan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Lord, you don't turn a cake. It just kind of gets done all the way through. What's going on with it?
Amen.
And then I got the image of a pancake, and it made sense.
Yeah.
I got to study it. You know, when they had the leavened bread and things like that, they made it in a kind of a cake shape.
Yeah.
In other words, we would think of it like a biscuit.
Yeah.
And when they bake these things, since there's no leaven in it, there's no yeast, it just goes flat. And I seen, I got a Bible dictionary and it showed a picture of they was baking some of these in a stone, a big old brick stone oven. And it was just almost like pizza crust. Big old round, flat pieces of bread. And they never cut the bread. They always broke bread. Mm-hmm. Amen. The Bible talks about Jesus' body was broke.
Amen.
For me and you, there's a lot in that, that leavened bread. Unleavened bread, Brother Robbie.
Yes, sir.
They say sometimes they pierce it and they roll some different little utensil that pierces and perforates the dough. And the Bible talks about the Lord Jesus being pierced.
Yeah.
Amen. And all these different things that correlate with that. But anyway, that piece of bread is flat. And when they get it, they always break off a piece, pass it to somebody else.
Yeah.
They'll break off a piece. And it's to commemorate the Feast of Unleavened Bread when they come out of Egypt.
Man.
But if you imagine this, I'll just use a pancake for us because it makes more sense. We can all see that. You get a good old pancake, I mean, like the ones Cracker Barrel and IHOP make. And that thing's golden brown on both sides, and it's soft in the middle, and you drizzle that syrup all over there. Y'all going to go IHOP after this service now. And it's just fluffy, just you can cut it with a fork.
Yeah.
Put a big old spat of butter on there.
Yeah.
Man, that's appetizing.
Bad.
You can hand me a big old stack of them, and I'll down.
You bad.
But you watch, and you think about this. You get somebody that don't really know what they're doing. They try to make a pancake. And they sit there and they watch. And all of a sudden that pancake starts to bubble. People that cook pancakes know when you bubble, it's time to turn. Well, they don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
And the cake just sits there and they begin to think, well, why ain't this thing getting done?
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, the cake gets burnt on that side. And it's no good for eating on the other side because if it's not been turned, then the top side is rare. It's not even cooked.
Right.
And so they've been doubly blessed, but they're doubly good for nothing.
Yeah. Good.
Because on one side they're burned, and on the other side it's unedible.
Yeah.
God said, that's right. What you are to me. Remember in Revelation, He says, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out. Hey, well, God says, amen, this is just like an old cake.
Yeah.
An old cake that's not been flipped, it's not been turned. It's got a bitter taste, and it's not pleasing, it's not palatable, amen, to my taste buds.
Amen.
He says, that's just Satan and Israel got themselves into.
Amen.
Amen. I begin to think about reasons why people would do this. For one, the king, amen, he didn't really care.
Yeah.
He'd rather get drunk with the princes and let the princes whisper good things in his ears and be subject unto them instead of turn around. Amen. That's a lot of churches today. We see the pastors won't stand up for God. And they hear the old congregation whispering in their ears. I can't tell you how many times I've heard preachers tell me they'll go to church and the church will try to tell them, well, now you need to not preach on tithing. Or you need to not preach on this. Or you do need to preach on that. Or here's what you can't preach. Amen. That's just like a Pilate and all them other high priests there. They were always afraid of the Jews so they wouldn't make the right decision. They were weighed in the balances and found wanting.
Yeah, that's right.
They couldn't make righteous judgments because of the fear of the people.
Amen.
God told Jeremiah and many other prophets, He said, don't even worry about their faces. Don't even look at them.
Amen.
You preach my word. Amen. Amen.
Right.
So He didn't care. And like I said earlier, another reason why the cake would burn is because they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I sang that song a while ago because we heard on the way down here, dust on the Bible. Amen. These are the instructions for life right here. I hold in my hand the good old Word of God. Amen. It's been handed down through the centuries and God has preserved it. Amen. It's exactly what we need. This is, if you're talking about cooking, this is your recipe book. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
A cake unturned.
Yeah, good preaching, brother. Like that.
They don't know what they're doing. They don't care. They just neglect it. There's many reasons why the cake gets burnt and it gets left behind.
Yeah.
Churches today are like Ephraim. They're a cake unturned.
Yeah.
Amen. They're not good on one side and they're not good on the other side. They've been doubly blessed. The church has been blessed beyond measure. Amen.
Amen.
Called out. Amen. Talks about in Romans over there about being grafted into the blessing of Israel. Amen. Gentiles didn't deserve it. They were always told to be far away in worship. They were always neglected and left outside when it came to the Jewish worship and the Jewish God. But when Jesus came and broke the veil, and the veil rent from top to bottom, amen, that wall of partition was removed, and now Gentiles and Jews alike, amen, have a way to heaven and have a way to salvation.
Amen. Yes, sir.
We've been blessed. Churches today are like this cake that's unturned. They've forgotten where God brought them from. They've forgotten where God's going to take them at the end of the day. And they've mixed themselves with the world. Amen. They don't realize that Jesus is still coming soon. Amen. Amen. They have previews a lot of time, coming soon to a theater near you. I got news for you. Coming soon to a planet Earth. Jesus is still coming back one day after a while. Amen. He's still coming back. God had a lot more to tell him. Down as we read down a little bit further. Talk about the pride of Israel. Talk about how they went to Egypt and they call on Assyria and they looked to other people for their answer when God wanted to be the solution.
Amen. That's right.
Churches today think they can get away with anything. Mm-hmm. But I got news for you. In the book of Romans, he began to talk about Israel and how they were a tree and how Gentiles were grafted in. I kind of mentioned that a minute ago because of this scripture. He said, boast in Romans chapter 11, verse 18, boast not thyself against the branches. But if thou boastest, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. I'm the special one now. Israel don't matter. They lost it. Verse 20 says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, but be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, that's Israel, take heed lest he also not spare thee.
That's right.
He's talking to the Christians.
Yes.
He's talking to the church.
That's right.
Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness. And here's the clincher. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Cut off. Mm-hmm. Remember God mentions about blotting your name out of the book of life. That can happen, folks. That can happen as sure as I'm standing here. And if you get cut off, it's your own fault.
Yeah.
Amen. Today, I'd like us all to recognize that if we have any unturned cakes in our own life, have we gotten cold on God, or in this case, have things in the world begun to mix into our lives and our lifestyle? Have we begin to think about different things and not really consult the Word about it? Amen. I know about myself, I begin to think about all the laws are passing and all this stuff dealing with homosexuality and abortion and all that. And it's getting so blatant, amen, so obvious, amen, that a lot of churches are starting to accept that as normal and starting to accept that, okay, they can be gay Christians and they can be all these other kinds of Christian. And that's just as bad as saying, well, you can be a Christian and sleep with your neighbor's wife. Sin is sin, and God looks on it, and you can't hide it from it. God said, I would have healed you, but iniquity was found. That's the same words he used for Lucifer. Iniquity was found in thee. And that's what caused his fall, pride and iniquity. And if we're not careful as a church, we'll be cut off as well. It's a serious matter. Amen. It's a serious thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And I'll ask Brother Donald if he'll come and sing the song. Amen. I don't want to harp on the church at all, but I felt like this was a word that needed to get out. Maybe it's nothing more than just something to be aware of and be looking for.
Amen.
And as a warning, amen, not to fall in this condition, amen, because it's serious.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Good preacher.
Praise the Lord for good spirit tonight and liberty. Appreciate it.
Praise the Lord.
If anybody's got a need, if anybody wants to move up closer,
amen.
The altar's open, amen.
There is a soul
amen. Good song.
In Romans.